You are welcome to another exciting episode of CADA Matters. CADA Matters is an awareness-raising program of CADA. CADA is an acronym for Church Against Domestic Abuse, a UK-based charity working to prevent and end domestic abuse, especially in Christian homes. Listen to this episode with Gracilis so as to build healthy relationships and keep your home and relationships abuse-free.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening. You are welcome. It's another Thursday evening and I am so delighted to be here once again to share on CADA Matters. But before I start, I'm going to write out our topic for today so that if anyone joins, they can see what the topic is. And so our topic for today, which is what I'm going to be sharing, is Welcome to CADA Matters. I'm putting that down now. Our topic for today, we're starting a series on trauma bonding. Trauma bonding, that is the name of the series. It's not something we can do in one go, because like you know, we like to keep it short and simple. So we would start off today and we'll see how far we can go, and we'll continue and conclude hopefully next week. So first of all, let's give a shout out to everyone there. Let's give a shout out. We are saying happy Children's Day. And perhaps you may be wondering why we're excited. We're excited because we're all children. Every single one of us is a child. Every single one of us, I mean, we're children of our parents. So I don't know, your parents may no more be here, but you're a child, you're their child. And I trust that you have people in your life who you consider and who play the role of a parent if your biological parents are no more here. And then, to be honest, we are all children of God. So that still keeps us all in the loop to be able to say Happy Children's Day. So how has Children's Day been for you? Has Children's Day been for your children? I can just imagine the excitement. I remember those days we did it used to be a public holiday for the children. We wouldn't go to school. It was something we looked forward to. And interestingly enough, I had some friends whose birthday was May 27. It's May 27 because I had to do a shout out to them today. So shout out to Christy and a shout out to Ogogo. We don't need Facebook reminders. We had those reminders all the years we spent in secondary school together. Thank you so much. So happy Children's Day to everyone out there. Just looking at the time to make sure that we're starting at the right time. And I think bang on, it's 20:30. It is 8:30 p.m. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you for those who would join later. You are watching CADA Matters. My name is Gracilis and I happen to be the convener. I am here alone again today. Second week running, but I tell you, next week is not going to be here. It's not going to be like this. Our anchor person is going to be available and she'll be joining us. So for today, you have me here. So that's it. And I'm delighted. And I'd like you to let me know where you're watching from. Today, we're starting a new series. And the title of our series, thank you so much for joining, Mama T. I was just explaining to everyone that I'm the only one here today for the second time in a row. But Himo is going to be with us next week. So the topic for today is trauma bonding. And we're just going to start. We'll start out today and we'll finish next week because it's sort of like a wide topic. But for those who are just joining us, thank you so much. For those who have not joined us, this is CADA Matters. CADA is an acronym for Church Against Domestic Abuse. And on CADA Matters, what we do is raise awareness as regards matters that have to do with domestic abuse. Last week, we were talking about recognizing toxic people. We say it is important for us to recognize toxic people, especially when we get to know them from a distance. That actually just helps us, you know, before we start falling into a relationship with them, we should avoid them at all costs and make sure we don't get into a romantic relationship with them. Because if we do get into a romantic relationship with toxic people, guess what's going to happen? We're definitely, the relationship will not be healthy and we're going to be abused. For today, we're moving on further and we are looking at trauma bonding. You know, one of the things a lot of people say to me sometimes is, why do people stay in abusive relationships? Why are people still there? They seem to love their abusers. You know, and as I'm going to study, I found out that there's something called trauma bonding. And so these are the things we'll be looking at today. We'll be looking at in this topic. We'll be looking at what is trauma bonding itself. Where did this term originate from? You see, most of these terms, they originate from somewhere. They're not from me. I've also gone to read and learn and research about them. So what is trauma bonding? How does it develop? When can it happen? Where does it happen? We're going to be looking at what are the effects of trauma bonding. How long does trauma bonding last? You know, because that's something for us to know. If you have a problem, you need to know how long is this problem going to actually last. So we're going to look at how long does trauma bonding last. We're also going to be looking at what are the conditions necessary for trauma bonding to occur. And are there risk factors? What are those things that would say are risk factors to make someone actually become, you know, someone who eventually gets into a trauma bond. And it's quite a term that perhaps it speaks for itself, although it might be a bit difficult, but I will just explain what it is. You know, that term, the term itself, trauma bonding, is a term that was coined by a chap known as Patrick Cairns. And why he coined this term, to actually, as he began to develop, you know, he was developing and seeing what exactly is the, he found out that there's a sort of an entanglement, as it were, a sort of something that happens. Really, what happens is he found out that there's a misuse of fear, excitement, and sexual feelings that can be used to trap someone, you know, into a trap or entangle another person. I know, yes, not the word entanglement, but just put your mind here. We're talking about something that's trauma bonding. So that's just it. So what trauma bond is it occurs when we happen to be in a circle or in a relationship with someone. There's excitement, there's fear. In short, actually, people describe it and say that it's a circle of infatuation, devaluation, and abuse. So what just happens is this person uses feelings of great feelings. Usually what happens to the trauma bond is things start out very well. You are actually pleased. The relationship starts out very well. You think everything is going on well. But as you get along the way, you find out that what's happening is, although you're having periods of intense love, it's all an excitement, is actually intermingled with periods of abuse, periods of neglect, and periods of mistreatment. And so what happens is that this particular circle of being devalued, you know, and then rewarded over and over, it just works over time. And then what happens is it just creates a strong chemical and emotional bond. You know, sometimes a lot of people say that why are people kept in an abusive relationship? And I tell you, a lot of people are in abusive relationships because abuse does not happen all the time. It's not all the time bad. Yeah, there are good times, you know, there are good times interspersed with bad times. And then most times what happens is people don't actually live in the reality of the situation they are in. Rather, they live in the hope of what it would be and the hope of what it was before. So they remember the good times, and because of that, they give excuses, and I'm getting ahead of myself. They give excuses and they remain there. So you find out that when we say there's a trauma bond, what is actually happening is that there's been periods of intense love and excitement with a person, but this has been followed by periods of abuse, it has followed by neglect and mistreatment. And so this circle of being devalued, you know, and then rewarded over and over again, well, it's a negative reinforcement, really, at the end of the day. So what happens at the end of the day is that you find out that strong chemical and emotional bonds, and even hormonal bonds, are being built between a victim and his or her abuser. You know, that's why you find out that people who are in abusive relationships, and it's not everyone who is in an abusive relationship that forms a trauma bond. I just want to say that. So it's not everybody who is in an abusive relationship that a trauma bond will form. No, it's not everyone. It happens with some certain people. And we're going to go on and talk about what are some of the risk factors, why are some people more susceptible to develop a trauma bond. So in a trauma bond, this is a term that we said has been coined by Patrick Cairns, which shows the circle and entanglement with people. It's a strong, intense feeling that actually goes on between a victim and abuser, where the abuser actually develops feelings for the victim. And so I want to say that anyone who is in an abusive relationship can actually, you know, become trauma bonded to their abusers. But there are some people who are more inclined to having those. And those are people, I believe people who are more prone to having these are people who are children who have been abused, people who grew up in an abusive home. That is perhaps all they know. And because that's the kind of relationship they've grown up with, they are familiar. I tell you, a lot of us will usually choose the familiar route rather than a chat that we don't know, you know. And then we say things like, the devil you know is better than the angel you do not know, you don't know what the angel is going to do, and you know, we give all those kind of excuses. So that's a trauma bonding, as it were, in a nutshell. And then what happens in trauma bonding is that victims of abuse often develop a strong sense of loyalty towards their abuser, in spite of the fact that they are being abused. And you find out when you're trying to even talk to these people, they end up defending their abusers. They end up trying to say that you don't understand them, you don't understand what they've been through, the things that they're doing. You know, they just end up, as it were, giving excuses for these people. And so actually, trauma bonding psychologists say that there's a connection and there's an attachment that grows, you know, when people spend time together. And unfortunately enough, or interestingly enough, when it comes to trauma bonding, these people are spending time together in and bringing off negative energy. So what happens is, you in a trauma bond, you have been emotionally attached to someone who is not a friend. The person is not being kind to you, but this person is an abuser. And so it's a negative kind of bonding that keeps us loyal to a destructive situation. It's the kind of situation that if you were experiencing, if you saw a friend going through it, you wouldn't want them to go through it. It's something you most probably opposed to. But unfortunately, when people are in this kind of situation, what happens is they are sort of... that's something we'll discuss next week. The chemicals in their brain that is responding to what they are actually going through does not allow them to respond logically. Rather, they respond, the chemicals that are being produced are the ones that actually deal with fear and the now. So they're not thinking of the future, they're just thinking of the now. What am I going to do now? What's the best thing to do now? And so we find them staying in those relationships. So in a trauma bond, actually, what happens is it's a process where an abuser and a victim, you know, begin to develop this kind of relationship. And what happens really is that people in a trauma bond confuse abuse as love. They confuse abuse as love. They are not able to distinguish that this is abuse. Even when you're trying to say to them, this is abuse, they're just not able to distinguish it. And so they just go into a repeated circle of abuse, devaluation, and positive reinforcement. Because like we said some weeks ago, when we're talking about the circle of abuse, abuse does not happen. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for joining us again. And a shout out, happy birthday to your mom. I have some other friends whose birthdays are today. I will say we don't forget people whose birthdays always helped us to have public holidays. So a shout out to your mom there too, Elizabeth. Thanks for joining us. We're looking at trauma bond, and we've said that it's a term not coined by Kada Matters. It's a term that was coined by a gentleman known as Patrick Ken to describe the relationship between some abusers and their victims. We say it is not everyone who is in an abusive relationship that actually forms a trauma bond. And a trauma bond happens because there's a repeated circle of abuse, devaluation, and also positive reinforcement. And then this trauma, the trauma that actually happens, causes people to develop powerful feelings that they struggle with, making it impossible for them to even distinguish between love or distinguish between abuse. Another thing we also said about this trauma bond is the fact that, sorry, someone's ringing me, let me just stop the phone from ringing. Another thing we said about this trauma bond is not everyone who is in an abusive relationship goes through a trauma bond. So it's not everyone. And there are some key factors that may make somebody more susceptible to being to developing a trauma bond. And before I forget, trauma bonding, when we talk about trauma bonding, I want us to realize that it's not just limited to romantic relationships. No. Trauma bonding can actually happen in families. It can happen at work. It can even happen between friends. And then it can happen, interestingly, it can happen in gangs. It can happen in cults. It can also happen between, I know most of us are conversant with kidnapping and all of that. It could happen between victims and their kidnappers. In short, there is a type of trauma bonding called the Stockholm Syndrome. And that's a specific type of trauma bond. And this is a term that, you know, when one begins to develop feelings for their the person who kidnapped them. In short, the Stockholm Syndrome was actually a term that was coined from something that happened in a city, and I believe that was in the US, Stockholm, where some armed robbers, you know, held some people hostage. They robbed the bank. Yes, they robbed the bank and they held some people hostage. And after holding those people hostage for certain days, you know, they developed a bond with these people. And even when these people were released, these people refused to testify in the court against the armed robbers. So you can just imagine, this is like, that's a non-romantic relationship. That's a relationship that one would have thought that people would just come up and say, oh, this is what they did. But no, what happened was a bond was formed. So I want us to realize that when it comes to abuse, it's a complex web altogether. It's not so simple to say, get up and leave, or why don't they leave, and all of that. Because sometimes we think, why have people not left? But these things are actually deep-seated, and that's why we teach these things, so that we can, you know, when we see people in this situation, we sort of like begin to see things from their perspective and understand them and know that it's not something you just say to somebody, oh, get up, oh, leave, oh, this, oh, that. No, no, no. It's not something to do just like that, because it goes a long way. So we said that trauma bonding can also happen between a child and an abusive caregiver, or even an abusive parent, or even an adult abusing a child. Even an adult abusing a child, a trauma bond can develop. Example, did you know that this adult can continue giving the child things, like an adult who is sexually abusing a child? Do you know that this adult can, you know, continuously give this child ice cream or things like that, give this child money, tell the child that they are special and all of that? And before you know it, this child, you know, has confused feelings. They don't understand why this is happening to them, and somehow they become loyal to this person, and then you find them not wanting to say to anybody what has happened. And I've also said that another place where we could see trauma bonding, it could happen in adult relationship, it could happen between a boss and a subordinate, it could happen between professors and students, it could happen between colleague, and then it could extend, as you know, to domestic violence, to parent-child relationships. So these are several other examples or several other ways where trauma bond can occur. So we've looked at trauma bonding. What exactly is trauma bonding? We've looked at the fact that, we've looked at where the term was come from. We've looked at a specific kind of trauma bonding. I've also looked at where can trauma bonding occur and when can it occur. It can occur at any time. It could take time to develop. It could develop in days. It could develop in months. It could develop in years. And you know, what's happening is that you just find out that the person, you know, has developed a strong attachment for their abuser, Do you know that even someone who has a partner who is an alcoholic or a drug addict, you know, and who keeps going in and out of recovery, could form a trauma bond with them, because somehow they live in the good moments, and, you know, they live in the fact that, oh, this was not how it was always, it has not always been like this. This person is nice, this person is okay, and it's just all of that and all of that that could happen. So trauma bonding could happen at any time, really. It could happen, like I've said, it could happen in domestic abuse situations, child abuse situations. It could happen as incest, you know, family members sleeping with family members. Trauma bond could happen like that. And then you find out that one sibling is not saying this is what this sibling is doing. It could happen between kidnapping or hostage. We've talked about that. It could happen even in human trafficking. And it could happen in religious organizations or cults. You could find trauma bonding occurring. People who are, do you know that you could eventually get, you know, attached to somebody who is abusing you, just because even the abuse itself is a form of attention which you are craving for. Yes, that can happen. Abuse could be a form of attention. You know, no attention, for some people, rather than have no attention, they'd rather have bad attention. Rather than have no attention, they'd rather have, you know, someone paying attention to them, even if it's a bad way, but at least they're getting some form of attention. And unfortunately, they could actually be abused in that instance. So what are the conditions actually that could you know, make trauma bonding occur. What are those things that could make trauma bonding occur? See, trauma bonding occurs when there's a sort of a power tussle, where we are threatened, when we believe that there's some form of real danger. You know you're in a dangerous situation, but you sort of like stick with it. It happens when there is harsh treatment interspersed with some small kindness. It also happens when people are isolated from other people's perspective. And I tell you, that's one of the terrible things when it comes to trauma bonding. That's one of the things about abuse. Abuse, one of the tactics of abusers is to isolate you. Abusers isolate you from other people. They try to destroy your relationship with other people. They try to tell you other people are horrible. They are the only ones who have your best interest in heart. And slowly, slowly, they isolate you from friends, from family. Sure, your friends begin to complain. Is everything okay? We don't see much of you again and all of that. And then before you know, you're totally isolated. They raise suspicion about everybody. They have something to say about everybody. And they have something to say that everybody is saying about you. And before you know, you've caught up people, and then you're isolated from other people's perspective. And if you can't see other people's perspective, it might be very difficult to realize that you are a trauma bonding is occurring. And also when one believes that there is no escape. So those are some conditions that could actually cause trauma bonding to occur, where you believe that there is no escape, where you can't see from other people's perspective, when you have harsh treatments being interspersed with small kindness. Before you know it, trauma bonding will be occurring. And then we go to the last thing we're going to look at for today, because I've said to us that this is a large topic. It's not something we're going to be able to treat fully today. The last thing we're going to look at today is, what are some of the common risk factors? What are some of the common risk factors for trauma bonding? We said it doesn't occur every, it's not every abusive relationship that is a trauma bond, but there are some relationships, you know, that are abusive that a trauma bond will occur. So what are some of those risk factors? I believe one of the first risk factors is poor mental health. When one has poor mental health, when you have one has underlying mental health issues, you find out that that person might eventually end up trauma bonding with their abusers. And if somebody has low self-esteem is a big factor for trauma bonding, because you think you don't deserve any better. You don't see yourself as anything. You don't see yourself at worth the time. You don't see yourself at worth the attention. You don't see yourself, you know, when you don't see yourself as, and people treat us sometimes the way we treat ourselves, when we think that we are trash, when we think that, it doesn't really matter how we are treated. Guess what? That kind of situation will put us in a trauma bonding with abusers. So that's another thing. Sometimes when people have financial difficulties, where, you know, a person is not empowered, like a woman is not empowered, she doesn't have any money of her own, she doesn't work, he's not allowed her to work, or even if she works, I mean, the husband holds all of the money, what happens is that it's very possible for that person to develop a trauma bond. Another thing that could happen that's a big factor for trauma bonding is when there's no support system. We said that that's one of the tactics, as it were, of abusers isolating you. So if you don't have a support system, it's very, very possible that your abusive relationship could actually turn into a trauma bond, because you don't have people who are there to encourage you. You don't have people who are there to say, no, this isn't right. You don't have people who you're bouncing and checking things with, who can see and say, no, you deserve better. And then past trauma could actually be another big factor for trauma bonding in a relationship, because sometimes, like I said, what we know is what we're used to. We want to keep up with that. And so we find out that some people, you know, this is what they're used to. They're used to people abusing them. They've grown up in abusive homes. So at the end of the day, you know, they're just there. Past trauma. Then the history of being bullied. Yes, a history of being bullied can cause one to be in a relationship that is trauma bonding. And then lack of personal identity. And funny enough, that's the topic we're going to be talking about in a few weeks time. We'll be looking at perspecticide. That's it. You know, a situation where, you know, everything about you is being eroded, and that's one of the tactics abusers use. They try to get you to doubt your reality, and as you doubt your reality, you begin to lose identity, because an abuser wants to make you feel everything is about both of you. Meanwhile, they project their views onto you. Meanwhile, they want everything you do to be what they want to be. And so most times they just use projection, manipulation to get you to do things that you don't want to do. And before you know it, there's sort of a loss of identity. So when you have a loss of identity, when you have no support system, where there is a history of past trauma or a history of bullying or poor mental health, low self-esteem, financial difficulties, all these are risk factors of developing a trauma. But and the final one we're just going to look at is, how long does it last? It could last, like I said, for days, it could last for months, it could last for weeks, it could last for years. We're going to draw the curtain at this particular point. I am not feeling very great at this time, like as if I want to throw up, so I want to stop at this time. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back together next week. Thank you so much, everybody, to come your way again. Bye for now. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed and learnt from today's session. Till we come your way again, remember, God hates abuse. There is no excuse for abuse. The church, which is you and I, say no to domestic abuse.